Call the February 21st Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Alderman Dandrea?
Here.
Alderman Mayor?
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Barber?
Here.
Alderwoman Mayor?
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item B1 is citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak, please come forward, give us your name and address for the record, and speak your piece.
Taylor, 7014 Elroy Court. I originally had decided to come down here. As many of you know, I'm a new board member for the Franklin Seniors, Inc. Great organization. Mayor, you've been down there, and Kristen, I think you've been down there recently. I guess it's okay if I would invite all of them down. But I think it's needed to say thank you. And say thank you to all the Common Council members for all your past and your present support. I see a lot of seniors, 80s, 90s years old, that come and they get together and they play cards. And a lot of it has to do with you and your support for that organization. Speaking of the seniors and community center, some time ago I put together a task force that called for the review of whether a community center should be built in the city of Franklin. Mr. Green, I believe, was a member of that task force. I think the superintendent of public schools, Brad Anderson, et cetera, et cetera. I'm asking the council tonight to reinvigorate that discussion now that the economy, the stock market, are now moving up into record numbers. I believe that's one of the main reasons that the task force has stopped, and to investigate the possibility of the building of a community center for seniors and for the youth of this community, and or to help the county supervisor for the area lobby the county board and the county executive to provide services and programming for seniors as they do to other people in the community. I don't know that the county is willing to come in here and build a community center, say a $15 million community center tomorrow, but I think they might be willing to take a look at providing more services and programming. And then the other item that I'm down here for is item 15, and I'll just put it this way. The way that the motion and the item is drawn up, I think that there was more clarity to the Obamacare resolution put together by Congress with 20,000 pages than what's contained in this item 15 tonight. I see that there is a section in there that asks for a rescission of a motion that I guess I was the author of and I asked Doug Schmidt to pass, that would say that before a new business park or contracts that could be entered into for a new business park be created, that the staff or anyone connected with the city first get direction from you, the Common Council, before any such business park be commenced. I did that because the six of you represent over 30,000 constituents. So it's important, it's absolutely crucial that this council first get on board with, one, whether there's going to be a new business park, and two, before any contracts are let, that a majority of this common council is going to vote on that contract. And then I would ask that on item 15, that if there is a consensus, that I be allowed to speak when and if you get to that point. Thank you very much.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Hey, Scott.
Scott Solansky, 8565 South 68th Street. I'd like to personally thank Alderman Mayor and Alderwoman Mayor for suggesting that we put an update of the ballpark expansion on the agenda tonight. That was greatly appreciated. And I'd also like to say that it's appreciated on how Mr. Aaron Hertzberg has done a very active participation with the meetings regarding the development and the Wisconsin DNR and the county and MSD. Hopefully tonight we'll be able to get some answers as to the status of the remediation of the Wisconsin State landfill that the developer bought. If I can look at the drawings correctly, it appears as though that landfill is right near or either under the sports complex. So we all know that last May, June, there were some drillings done, and they found some pockets of high amounts of methane. So hopefully what that remediation process is for that particular area, there will be adequate safety standards, not only for the citizens of Franklin, but for the citizens of Greendale. And then hopefully we'll get some insight as to what's going on with the developer and the county. As best as I could figure out, you know, the county was aware of the expansion in October of 2015. And there seems to be some kind of, issues, and maybe those can be at least brought out so we know what's going on. And then finally, the city has done a great job, you know, pulling up its part of the bargain. By that, I mean last February they signed an MOU that was directed by the developer. Last April, you rezoned single family to multifamily. And then last September, you created a new TIF district. All of these three things were for this particular development and developer. But over the last year, we've heard very little as to what the developer is doing. And hopefully, Mr. Hertzberg will shed some light on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Solansky. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Seeing no one else, I will close this comment period. Move on to item C1, approval of the regular common council meeting minutes of February 7th. Any additions or corrections?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to G1. Accept
motion approved.
Second.
For the record, sorry guys, but yep. NNS Towing, $1,000, $2,500 from Sal Perpero of CW Perpero, $25 from Mary T-Bear, and $200 from the Farcioni's for the canine account. So we thank them for their donations. Move on to G2.
Yeah, both.
I was hoping. I was so hoping. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Alderman. Item G2 is a change in accounting treatment for Ryan Creek Sanitary Interceptor Sewer by our new auditors, Mr. Rotzenberg.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have with us this evening John Knippel from our new auditors, Baker Tilly and Company, to discuss the change in accounting treatment relative to the Ryan Creek Interceptor Sewer that is a part of our sanitary sewer fund. By way of reference for the Common Council, in 2010, the city agreed with several parties to construct the Ryan Creek Interceptor. As part of that project, the city entered into an intergovernmental agreement with Metropolitan Milwaukee Sewage District, in which case Metropolitan Milwaukee Sewage District agreed to make all of the principal and interest payments on the funding for that interceptor sewer. And in connection with that, the city incurred a debt of some $24.6 million to complete that construction. And MMSD has kept all of its commitments for that interceptor sewer during the course of the time since the construction took place. The sewer went into operation in the summer of 2014. At that time, in 2012, when the construction began, financial management of the city decided to record only a receivable from MMSD on our books, as well as the loan commitment for the Clean Water Fund loan that was entered into when the sewer was project was initiated. With the change in accounting accountants that we've recently entered into, so our 2016 financial statements will be audited by Baker Tilly, we reviewed with them in the planning session the current accounting treatment for that particular project. The city has not recorded the asset as an asset on our books, and accounting treatment would have us do that, but that would be a change in accounting treatment, and we are bringing before you this evening endorsement of that change in accounting treatment. John Knippel is here from Baker & Tilly, who could answer any questions that you might have related to the accounting treatment, and also staff is here to answer any questions that you might have.
I have a couple of questions. Maybe they'll help. We do this change in accounting. Does that have any impact on our bond rating and the way our financial statements are written?
Both
bless you, Mark.
Mr. Rotzenberg and I would concur on this. We do not anticipate that there'd be any impact to the way that the financial consultants and the bond rating agencies are going to view the city's reports, that it would impact your rating or of any kind. This is not an issue of that you're increasing an obligation or a debt on your books. It's simply reflecting the fact that the city does own the interceptor until such time it transfers ownership to MMSD at the conclusion of the loan, and there really is not a detrimental impact to your financial statements as a result of this change.
And we're not going to need to restate any of our IRS filings because of this?
No, there will be no restatements with the Internal Revenue Service.
Alderman? Alderman Mayor.
Mr. Rotzenberg, this is your recommendation to do this?
Yes.
Is there a motion to adopt the revised accounting treatment? Excuse me, before that, Alderwoman Mayor.
Yeah, I had some questions. First, I just want to find out if I can get a copy of that Clean Water Fund loan agreement and the MMSD intergovernmental agreement. If you could just put that in my box, that would be appreciated.
Sure.
Does the city make the loan payment, or how does that work as far as MMSD?
The agreement with the State Department of Administration, which granted the loan to the city, it's a general obligation loan by the city, requires the city to make the principal and interest payments. On the same day that the principal and interest payments are made by the city to the Department of Administration for the Clean Water Fund loan, MMSD transfers funds to the city to make that payment. So the city is legally obligated to make those loan payments, but funding for the loan payments comes in from MMSD on all the due dates for those payments.
Okay, thanks. As far as the ownership is concerned, was there a confusion that we shouldn't be putting that in the asset, or was there some kind of documentation that the city sent to MMSD saying, you know, we disagree with this, or?
The loan document requires that the city be the owner of the asset or the interceptor sewer during the term of the loan. That's a requirement. There were numerous discussions with multiple parties prior to the project, in which case all parties understood that the city would own, operate, and maintain the interceptor sewer during the course during any point in time in which the loan is outstanding. So that was never in question. The decision, my discussions with the Friar Financial Management of the city at the time were that such that the interceptor sewer was going to be contributed to MMSD at the conclusion of the loan, that it really didn't make any sense to that party that we have the asset on our books. And so we showed a receivable from MMSD for the funds, and we showed the liability to the state for the loan. But accounting treatment would have us, because we are the owner, because we are maintaining it, because we are operating it, that we record that asset on the face of our financial statements. And that's the change that we're talking about tonight.
And then on page 13, you said that was since 2012 that those rules were already in place or became in place, that should be on the books as an asset?
The agreement and the project was initiated, and so financial transactions started to be recorded in 2012. So that's the period of time in which the assets should have begun to be on our books. And we'll be making the appropriate accounting transactions to reflect that fact with the 2016 financial report.
Is there something that came up that it says have become pertinent? I mean, why wasn't it pertinent then? Why is it all of a sudden becoming an issue that this goes on the books?
Well, the financial statements are the city's financial statements. The city hires a financial director to prepare financial reports and then present them to you. You accept them. It was the judgment of the financial management of the city at the time that because the asset was going to be on our books for a brief period of time, certainly the life of this asset is much longer than the 20-year term of the loan, that it made no sense to put the asset on the books. Our books are audited by auditors. There were discussions with the auditors in 2012, and financial management at the time was able to convince the auditors to accept the treatment that was given. It's not necessarily the most common practice for this, and the current auditors would disagree with that treatment, and that's why we're proposing to the Common Council to accept this change in accounting.
Is the city aware, or are you aware of any written documentations between the prior auditor and the financial officer at that time in discussions about this?
I did a search the last week or so of the records that I could find, and I didn't find any written discussions. I did find an email from the finance director for the city of Franklin to the finance director for MMSD indicating how the city of Franklin intended to treat it. And there was communication back from the finance director at MMSD of Baker Tilly's viewpoints on how that should be treated on both companies' books. And at that time, Baker Tilly suggested to MMSD that the city of Franklin should have the asset on our books. I joined the city about the time that communication was taking place, but the finance director for the city of Franklin did not agree with that treatment and chose not to record it that way.
Okay.
Alderman Mayor, if I may clarify something, we were not the Baker Tilly was not the auditors of record for the city at that time, but we were the auditors of record for MMSD. And that's why we were involved at that with that memo at
were
that time.
Were you ever a prior auditor of the city of Franklin?
Yes.
Like before
yes.
all of that happened? And then
7 years
changed.
Ago.
Yeah, okay. I guess I have a question regarding, I mean, it was, you're coming to the council now asking for this decision. Why wouldn't it not have been a common council decision at that time to not put a $24 million asset on the books?
I wasn't here at the time, so I can't I'd be speculating as to why that might occur, but I can tell you that the audit report was presented to the Common Council, and the Common Council accepted the report as it was drafted without the asset there. Now, that was at the recommendation of the finance director and accepted by the auditors at the time, but I'd be speculating as to why the decision was made not to highlight that decision.
So it could be possible that it was never even brought up to the Common Council, like the document is presented to the Common Council. I mean, you're not supposed to ask. How are you supposed to ask about something that's not there? Usually when you're looking at a financial document, you're asking about the things that are actually in it.
One of the most difficult tasks financial people have is to find that which is not there, that needs to be there. That's one of the very difficult things that we have in our tasks and our daily activities. Certainly the construction of the Ryan Creek Interceptor was the discussion of multiple Common Council meetings, so the Common Council certainly knew of its construction. Why that there was not more discussion about why the asset wasn't on the books, I would have to speculate, and I choose not to do that this evening.
Okay. The documents that are in the packet, is that the full document, the letters, the memos and everything? Are those full, or is there more to those when we just have the first page?
No, those would be the full documents that I located relative to those issues.
Okay. So is it what triggered this decision to bring this to the Common Council now? Is it because you're a new auditor and you disagreed with the way we're doing it, or is there something else that...
Pass it over. I wrote a memo to Cal Patterson in 2012 when I joined the city indicating that I did not agree with the treatment that financial management chose at that point in time. But the finance director for the city at that time insisted that that's the way he wanted to treat it and was able to convince the accountants to do that. So when we changed auditors in last fall, or hired new auditors to audit our books, I knew that this transaction would become an issue because I didn't agree with it at the time that it occurred. And I raised that issue with Baker Tilly, saying, here's how we're doing it. Are you okay with that, or do you want to change? And that precipitated a discussion between Baker Tilly and myself on that, which has now ripened to the point where I believe it should be treated differently. Baker Tilly believes it should be treated differently, but because it is a significant change to the city's financial records, we believe it's important to bring it to your attention today rather than in May when the financial report for 2016 is presented to you.
Okay, so...
John, are you okay with that?
That is an appropriate summary of what happened. And the only thing I would add is, you know, based on the information that was provided to us, we went into the accounting standards that the city needs to follow to record such a transaction, and we felt that particular transaction just did not stand pass muster to the accounting standards that should have been followed.
Wow. So what's making it pertinent now is that you're coming on board and you're trying to correct a wrong.
Yes.
A wrong made by one person who never brought anything to the Common Council at the time.
I believe that to be a judgment matter. There are accounting reports and financial reports are full of estimates, lots of estimates. Most of government accounting government reporting is a cash basis type item, so you see cash come in and you see cash goes out, and that's what the transactions are. But the financial reports that are presented to the Common Council for the City of Franklin do include a large number of estimates related to asset retention, asset usefulness, employee benefits that are going to be paid in the future. There are a lot of estimates built into the financial statements. The financial management of the city at that time made what they felt was a best faith estimate of how that transaction should be accounted for, and were able to make that argument successfully with the auditors of the city at that point in time. Today, the situation is slightly different, and we believe a more full disclosure of that transaction would have it treated as putting that asset on our books.
Okay, but in 2012... the new accounting rules were there, but now they're becoming pertinent. You just said it's just now becoming relevant.
The one change that occurred between 2012 and today is the Government Accounting Standards Board has adopted the deferred inflows and the deferred outflows treatment of certain transactions. And that particular set of accounting rules and some of the interpretations of that is bringing a different set of light to this particular transaction.
Okay. In here, you say that the city is that there's just no cash impact on the city. If I changed that and said there's no impact to the city, is that still a true statement?
No, it would not be a true statement. The impact on the statements is to reflect a $24.6 million asset, some accumulated depreciation on that asset, and that there would be additional fund balance at the end of 2016, I'm estimating to be about $22.5 million. That would represent additional fund balance to the city, representing the value of that, the depreciated value of that asset. So there is a significant difference to the statement. We don't believe there would be any detrimental evaluation on the part of the credit agencies. As a matter of fact, I would make the argument that credit agencies would view our statements as being more forthright and maybe a little bit more accurate than they had been, and that would actually be viewed favorably by the credit reporting agencies.
Okay.
Alderman Taylor.
So you said that in 2012 you wrote a memo to the previous financial director and said that you disagreed.
We had discussions to that effect, yes, and I actually found my note from 2012 in the files today, and the post-it right. note that I wrote back in July of 2012.
When did you take over?
I became the finance director for the city in November of 2013.
So why did it take this many years to do this?
Because the auditors for the city were retained from 2012 through 2015, and they were not requiring a change, and I didn't feel the need to raise this issue at that point in time. But with the change in accountants, I knew that a new set of eyes would be placed upon this transaction and that it's likely they would not agree, and I wanted to get that issue resolved before we come before you with a final audit report.
Thank you very much.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I had a question on the depreciation value. It's going to be paid off in 2020. What will be the value of it, the depreciation, at that point when it's paid off?
The loan is scheduled to be retired in 2031.
Okay.
And at that time, the depreciable portion of that asset would be fully depreciated, and what would remain on the city's books is some land leasehold interests in the right-of-way that is currently valued at about $370,000, and that would be the asset that would be written off at the time that the entire interceptor sewer would be contributed to Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District.
I know there are a lot of different members on the council than when this transaction happened. As you know, I'm one of the people that were not real supportive because I felt the use of it and the depreciation of it by the time we actually used it. And I believe it was either this coming year or last year MMSD was going to put it in anyway, and we would have a newer pipe in the ground. But in relation to this, I'm pleased with Baker Tilly's bringing this forward to us. I'm glad we've had them look and review this and agree with what you had tried to bring forward previously. To me, this is the right thing to do. And so I want to thank you for calling this to our attention. The thing that I see that is the only questionable thing is the previous finance officer who was notified but, in my opinion, must have failed to bring it to the council's attention. I think that's where the ball got dropped because, there was no memo to us saying Baker Tilly, who was representing MSD, told us this. So I think it's the right thing to do, and I'm sure.
Alderman, I appreciate your comments. I am struggling this evening not to disparage my predecessor.
I
have
that.
Great respect
we
for the
no
financial
idea what
officer.
His reason was, or we, I fully understand that. But I'm just thinking if there's anything that might have happened and fell through that possibly could where it was been. And no blame to you at all. So.
Well, let's let Mr. Rotzenberg finish what his statement is because it's important that he does that.
I believe that the prior financial officer for the city of Franklin, my predecessor, very well served the city of Franklin in his responsibilities as the finance officer. He made a value judgment at that time, and not everyone agreed with it, but the outside accountants did find that there was some substantial reasons to accept it, and he moved forward on that basis. But because there is an area here for some discussion, I felt the need to bring it to our new accountants and auditors' attention, so that if there was a disagreement, we could bring that to your attention before the final report is being requested to be accepted.
Thank you. Well, I agree with this method. I support this method. Unless there's any discussion, I make the motion.
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? See you, Chief. all those in favor of the motion to adopt the revised accounting? On the motion,
I still have some more questions. And technically, I had the floor before you gave it to Alderman Taylor.
I guess after 3 years, I still haven't come to the point where I understand when this pause is more than just a pause. Alderman Mayer.
I do wonder about the fact that we are under maintenance. You know, we have to do maintenance. We own, operate, and maintain this. Has any money been set aside for maintenance?
The sanitary sewer fund has appropriations for maintaining the entire sanitary sewer system of the city. This particular interceptor sewer has very light demand in terms of use associated with it. And I'm not aware of any particular significant expenditure that is being required to provide maintenance to a sanitary sewer which would have arguably up to a 100-year life in its first several years of service to the community.
Okay. Now that the city will own it actually on the books, is there going to be an amount actually dedicated to the Ryan Creek Interceptor? Is that something that would change because we are bringing it onto the books, or does it just get lumped into the sewer fund and it's all one big sewer system along with everything else?
It would be accumulated and reported along with other sanitary sewer assets, infrastructure assets that the city has.
But separately?
No. It would be reported as a sanitary sewer, just like all the other sewers that the city owns.
Okay. Are you aware of any city funds used to, spent to maintain the Ryan Creek Interceptor to date? I know that there was a lot of work done on 112th Street when they couldn't seem to get it running correctly, and there's another one I'll ask you about. Go ahead and answer that question.
I'm not aware of any unusual maintenance requirements on the part of the city, but there might be needs because of some issue that gets raised either in the normal operation and conduction of our sanitary sewer system, but I'm not aware of any unusual costs that the city has relative to this sewer.
Unusually large or unusual? Because I would think that, and maybe we didn't have to pay for this, but the smoke that was, or the gas that was going into the people's homes who are hooked up right now, was probably a pretty unusual expense that we would have had to pay for if we were actually maintaining.
The city regularly and customarily receives comments from users of our sanitary sewer system of issues that they have with their resident or property associated with that. In the connection with the advent of the use of this sanitary sewer, there were some startup issues that you spoke of that required some work on the part of our sanitary sewer staff. That would be customary with any startup of any asset. We've had similar startup issues with the water and wastewater building, and some of them have been ongoing for quite some time because they're still unresolved. So nothing that I'm aware of would have been an unusual maintenance cost associated with the startup of this particular sewer. Certainly nothing of any significant size in terms of the number of dollars.
Okay. I can accept unusual large quantities of money, but I would think that poisonous gas going into people's homes is an unusual expense. So I just want to clarify that. One thing that I would like also, in addition to the documents that I asked you to put in my mailbox, is the response from the prior auditor to the letter from Baker Tilly. Because everything is from Baker Tilly and there's really no response from our the prior.
The prior auditor did not include me in his response back to Baker Tilly's request. So I have not received that. I could request it, and if I receive it, I could certainly make it available to you, Alderman.
Okay, I would appreciate you requesting it. Otherwise, I could request it of you also to make sure that that gets to Paul and he can forward that to me. And we don't have to modify any other reports. It's just the 2017, because there seems to be some kind of discrepancy into how far we have to go back. You're asking for 2017. Some are saying 16, 15. It's kind of all over the board. And
the presentation of the 2016 financial statements to the Common Council, which is currently scheduled for your first meeting in May, would typically have, for the sanitary sewer fund, comparative financial statements, 2015 and 2016 reports. Baker Tilly and I have initiated discussions as recently as this afternoon about the presentation of those statements, which is yet to be determined. So you may see a restatement of 2015. You may see 2015 stated the way it was in the prior report, and then a change to the opening balance in 2016. That's yet to be determined. We will certainly highlight that when it comes to you in May, because it is a significant event.
Significant event and significant cost?
There'll be some cost, but I wouldn't expect any change in the audit, the agreed upon audit fee associated with this.
Okay. But it's still going to cost the city money, because we have to go back to fix something that should have been.
The cost to do this is pretty minimal. It's minimal.
Okay.
There's staff time associated with it, but not out-of-pocket cash cost.
Okay. And you had said that the auditor, the Baker Tilly, came on in 2015 or at the end of 2015?
Baker Tilly was engaged by the appointed as the auditors in your September 2016 meeting.
Okay.
And so we just signed the engagement letter recently, and they are auditing our 2016 report.
Okay. And when you were doing the auditing for MMSD, did you assume that the city of Franklin was doing this the way it was laid out in 2012?
We were requested by Mr. Kaminsky from MMSD, who is their CFO, to document what we felt was the correct accounting treatment that the city would have for this transaction. That was the extent of our involvement. I mean, we had no, honestly, I did not even know that he passed that memo on to the city at that time. I was not involved in drafting that. That was drafted by another partner within our firm at that time. Because we were not the city's auditors, we really did not follow up to see whether they were following that particular document. We left it to Mr. Kaminsky to do with the memo what he would.
Okay. And typical communication to the Common Council would be from you what, you know, when you're doing the audit, what kind of a communication?
Regarding what?
Regarding the accounting principles and the year-end reporting. Or anything that you would see that's, you know,
unusual transactions that occur with during the year that require complex accounting treatments are typically communicated at a high level that this happened, and you're following the appropriate accounting policies and standards to record that transaction. Generally speaking, when a CPA provides an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, they are stating that you have followed the accounting principles, that they agree that that they're giving their opinion that you have followed the accounting principles that you're supposed to be. So it's somewhat implied.
Okay.
that they've looked at these transactions and are in agreement with them. They may not specifically bring a transaction to your attention, but there certainly is an implication that you followed the appropriate accounting treatments and standards in all the transactions they've looked at.
And Paul, you feel as though we received that from the prior auditor every year?
As a matter of fact, I do. The auditor did agree to the treatment that we made, or they would have changed their opinion or provided a qualified opinion.
Okay. Well, I agree that it needs to be corrected. I'm completely disappointed that one guy or whatever happened could put, I believe, the city at that kind of a risk, but I do agree with this motion. Thank you for answering the questions. I appreciate it.
Is that it? All right. On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to item G3, a status report from staff. Thank you, John. Status report from staff on Ballpark Commons. Mr. Hertzberger.
All right, folks. So I'm here tonight at the request of the Common Council at our last, or at your last meeting. You requested an update on the status of the Ballpark Commons project. Over the last year, staff's been working in regular communication with Ballpark Commons development team on the project. It's complex for a number of reasons, as you're aware of, the scale, the amount of uses, the style of development, site conditions. But we've made significant progress in working with the development team. As Mr. Slansky reviewed earlier, we passed the MOU in February of last year. We amended the comprehensive plan and amended the plan development district number 37 to accommodate the development in April, approved a project plan and TIF boundaries in September. The Joint Review Board later approved that same project plan and boundaries in September. And since then, the state has certified the TIF district to move forward. The development team has gathered significant information about the site, including geotechnical engineering reports, landfill boundaries, and received approval of the wetland delineation report from Wisconsin DNR.